Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
We continue our examination of the subject of divorce in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Where Paul has divided the question of divorce into two categories. There's one answer for Christian marriages where both husband and wife are Christians, and there's another answer for mixed marriages where one is a believer and one is not. In the case of Christian marriages, Christian husband, Christian wife, unless, and this isn't stated, but I think it's assumed, that in both cases, the basic principle that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5 and again in chapter 18 and also, well, that's the two places where it's recorded. The basic principle that Jesus taught, namely that immorality, adultery, is a legitimate reason for divorce, and that would apply to Christian marriages and to mixed marriages as well. So that's assumed because that's taught by Jesus, and that really isn't in question here. But in the case of Christian marriages, the answer is very simple. No divorce. That's it. No divorce. Separation, maybe. And if separation equates to divorce, and I keep mentioning that, and I think it may, then no remarriage. No remarriage, you either remain single or be reconciled to your husband or to your wife. So God has a very high standard for Christian marriages, and He expects Christian couples to adhere to that standard. Now, there's some ramifications for this that I'll wait until we finish the whole passage to get into. I'm tempted to get into them now, but I think I'll wait. But then we come back to the question of mixed marriages, and here the answer is different, and there also are several ancillary issues that come up that are very instructive as well. So we'll pursue those a little bit further, taking them beyond where we did yesterday on the broadcast today, which is Tuesday, October 5, and we are thankful that some of our radio listeners help us financially continue to teach God's Word on the station. Well, in the case of mixed marriages, the answer basically boils down to if the divorce is in the hands of the unbeliever, not the believer. The Christian is not allowed to initiate divorce. In either case, a Christian isn't allowed to do that in the case where both husband and wife are Christians, and if neither one can do that, barring adultery, the only legitimate reason for doing it. But if neither one can do that, then of course there won't be any divorce in a Christian marriage because neither spouse, if they're obedient to Scripture, has permission to initiate a divorce. But in the case of mixed marriages, same answer for the Christian. The Christian still may not initiate a divorce, but if the Christian is divorced, if the unbeliever initiates a divorce, then the marriage is broken, and the believer is now free to remarry. They are no longer under bondage, but they have been set free by the divorce of the unbelieving spouse. But then that interesting phrase, and we were dealing with this on the broadcast yesterday, that interesting phrase about being sanctified and being unclean and holy. Verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But now are they holy. And I've suggested to you that this is setting up a very stark contrast with what was true under the Old Covenant. And I took you back yesterday to the book of Ezra, where the children of Israel, the people of Israel, had entered into mixed marriages and were now repentant for what they had done and looking for direction for how to fix this disobedience. And the solution, surprisingly, is you've got to put away your pagan wives. You've got to put away your pagan wives, you Jewish husbands. You've got to put away your pagan wives, and you've got to put away any children that were born to them. Because why? Because they are unclean. Both wife and children born to those wives are unclean. You cannot stay married to them and yourself not be defiled. You will be defiled ceremonially by that pagan wife. You will be defiled ceremonially by the children born to that pagan wife. But under the new covenant, it's just the opposite, entirely different, couldn't be more different. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. Now, the unbeliever, the unbeliever is not unclean, and by that uncleanness is defiling the believing spouse. Oh, no, not at all. The unbelieving husband is sanctified, made holy. And that doesn't mean holy in the sense of being saved, being made, being cleansed from sin. But that word sanctified has to do with the idea of being set apart. That unbelieving husband is set apart by the wife, set apart for special attention and blessing by God, by the believing wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. So everything's different now. In mixed marriages, the unbeliever does not defile the believer. You don't have to dissolve the marriage for that reason. In mixed marriages, the children are not unclean. They are holy. Now, again, that doesn't make them saved. And I'm confident that this is not a legitimate reason for infant baptism. Some have turned to this text for that purpose, but I don't see that there at all. No basis for baptism. Baptism, it seems to me very clearly in Scripture, is for believers only. Any more than, I mean, if what this says about the children would make them eligible for baptism, then why not what it says about the unbelieving spouse make them eligible for baptism? You see what I'm saying? Verse 14, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. Oh, they're sanctified. The unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. Baptize that unbelieving husband. Well, no, they're still an unbeliever. Baptize them when they believe. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Oh, great. Sanctified by the husband. Baptize that unbelieving wife. No, not until they believe. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now are they holy. Baptize your children. They're holy. No, they are sanctified. That's really what holy means. They're sanctified just like the unbelieving spouse. They are set apart for special blessing by God because of their relationship with the believer. God blesses the unbelieving spouse. God blesses the children of the unbelieving spouse because of the believer who is precious in his sight, but you don't baptize any of them until they believe. But what this also tells us is that there is greater contrast between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant than some people recognize. Now, this gets into a whole lot of issues, and we're not going to solve them all now, but I'm simply pointing this out. Here is a very clear example of strong contrast, strong discontinuity. The condition that prevailed under the Old Covenant, where the unbelieving wives were unclean. They had to be put away. That was the only solution. Put them away. In other words, divorce them. Send them back home to their former country, to their Gentile nation, to their pagan idolatry. They are unclean. They are defiling you. They are defiling society. They're unclean. Divorce them. Send them home. Send their children back with them. The children are unclean. Not so. Under the new covenant, entirely different. The spouses are far from unclean. They're sanctified. The children, far from being unclean, are holy. They're sanctified too. Great advancement under the new covenant, wouldn't you say? This is certainly one area where that is obviously true. There are a lot of advantages under the new covenant. A lot of improvements, you might say, under the new covenant that were not true under the old covenant. The old covenant was wonderful in its place, but it wasn't designed to be permanent. It was designed only to be a temporary arrangement until Christ came. Among other things, and I think primarily what it did was protect the nation of Israel until Christ came. In other words, protect the nation that would bring Christ into the world to keep them intact until the Messiah could come. But when Christ came and inaugurated the new covenant, oh, how very, very different it is in so many ways. And this is one of those ways. In the question of mixed marriages, old covenant, you'll have to break them up. You'll have to divorce your unbelieving wives. You'll have to put away your unclean children. That must have been a heartbreak. You don't. Every situation is different, of course, because every marriage is different. You don't always know the dynamics that are going on in each marriage, but it had to be true that in some of these cases, the husband loved the wife, and the wife loved the husband, in spite of the fact that one was a worshiper of Jehovah and the other was a worshiper of pagan deities. In spite of the fact that one was, in the words of Paul, a believer and the other was an unbeliever. Many times there still is a great bond of affection there. There's great love there. And the children. Children are loved by their parents, particularly by believing parents. And yet, the command was the only way to fix your transgression. You've got this problem because you disobeyed God and entered into a mixed marriage, and you weren't supposed to do that. And the only solution, therefore, is to divorce your unbelieving and therefore unclean spouse and send away the children of that marriage as well. And I'm sure there were a lot of tears and a lot of broken hearts, but that's what obedience required. That's what repentance required. But not so under the new covenant. Entirely different. And now the river of grace is wider and the stream is deeper. And God says, I will pour out special blessing upon the unbelieving spouse for the sake of the believing one. And I will pour out special blessing upon your children for the sake of the believing one. They are not unclean. They are holy. They are precious. They are sanctified. They're set apart in my sight. And so things are very different under the new covenant, and we can thank the Lord that that is so. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.